You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, we've touched on the show several times before.
About?
I'm not an animals person.
No, you're not really into the whole creatures.
Don't have a pet currently, never had one in my life, don't have much interest in having one in the future.
Did you have a pet stick or imaginary friend, any of those?
Not really. I had a pet rock at one point.
Nice.
But then I think I lost it.
Did you draw a face on it, or is it...
No, I had the googly eyes that you stick on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But then I lost it, so probably a good thing that I'm not in taking care of a dog or something like that.
He's out there somewhere thinking of you.
Oh,
you put a rock.
Oh, okay, thank you. I have a dog? What?
Nope.
Simo, this did catch my attention, though, and even though I'm not an animal person, I saw this and I've seen the footage of it, and it is super cute. A lot of various events have had to be cancelled or postponed in 2020 due to obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Including the annual dog surfing contest, which happens in California.
Wow, annually?
Yeah.
They get these dogs together once a year to go surfing?
Yeah.
Oh, what good boys.
Do you want to know what it's called?
Yeah, of course.
It's the Surf Dog Surfathon.
Surf Dog Surfathon.
Which feels like they're using one too many words somewhere in there.
SDS for short.
Yeah,
that's
SDS-a-thon.
Yeah, works. I like it.
So this year, because normally all the dogs converge on a beach.
Converge.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Convene?
Convene.
Yeah, because converge makes it sound like they're there to really cause some damage.
I mean, maybe they are. They're there to poo all over a beach.
The dogs are converging.
No, but Simo, so every year all these dogs get together on a beach in California. Obviously, they couldn't do that this year. So this year, they said, you know what, to all the dog and the dog owners, go and surf your local beach. Go and surf your local break.
Right.
Take a video of it, and we'll enter that in the competition, and that's how they will work it out.
Cool.
So the winner, I can tell you, because I know that you're desperate to find out.
Yep.
Was a dog called Sugar, who is 10 years old from Huntington Beach in California.
Yeah, what breed? Do you know the breed?
It's got four legs.
Yeah, I assume, but bigger dogs and center of gravities and stuff, you need like the perfect weight, because if you're going to go like the lap dogs, the chihuahuas and stuff, you know, it's all board to body size.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to turn. So I think Golden Lab is probably prime time. Like, though, if I was a dog surfing betting man,
which you're not,
which I'm not, I would fancy the Golden Labs over most of the other doggos.
Just explain it to someone who's not a dog. Golden Lab, big dog, small dog.
Explain it to someone who's not a dog.
Well, there's a dog person.
Yeah.
And also not a dog. So technically that statement was correct.
Technically true. So Golden Lab is the golden one. The one that you see on the pet food ads that chases the toilet rolls.
Oh, that one.
Yeah,
okay.
That one. Yeah.
Well, all the dogs that were kind of featured in the video were all quite small.
Oh, right.
Those are like bulldogs or pugs.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that.
Yeah, bulldogs, low center of gravity.
Well, like,
thick,
there was there was a pug on. The surfing board is riding into the beach, and there's a pug on the surfing board just running back and forth. It's so small, it doesn't affect, like, the weight of gravity, or whatever you call it.
Everyone lost their minds from the talking pug in X-Men, but they hadn't seen nothing yet.
The surfing talking pug. So all the dogs, they were each ranked into weight classes, much similar with boxing, and judged on categories including length of ride, size of wave ridden, maneuvers such as walking on the board or turns, as well as barking.
Oh, right.
As well.
Like, they want them to bark or they didn't want them to bark?
Look, you're asking the wrong person.
Also, one thing that I'm a little bit concerned about is I feel like we're giving the sharks even more of an excuse to come and try out what the land can offer.
What do you mean?
Because, like, obviously dogs not from the sea, not from the ocean.
Good observation. Oh, there's a couple of sea dogs swimming around.
So, naturally, if they are going to go and enter that environment, apparently sharks don't like the taste of human beings. But they only find that out after they've taken a few bits.
Okay, after they've taken an arm.
Just like, yep.
Yeah, I tell you what, leave this.
Not into this.
Not my cup of tea.
It's like those kids that pick at their food in the high chair and don't finish it.
So what are you suggesting, that sharks are going to get a taste for dogs?
Well, I'm just worried. I'm just saying we're giving them the option. You know, don't put anything out on the menu that you don't want to potentially be eaten.
Okay, maybe well for the next year's surf dogathon, maybe don't put your best dog out. Maybe just like the third best or something like that, just in case.
Simo and Jordan.
And just kind of like taking it easy, kicking back. Now, you're a pretty relaxed kind of individual, wouldn't you say?
I like to think yes. It's certainly a nice way of putting it, relaxed over lazy.
Yeah, that's fair, but you're very kind of cool, calm and collected, I would say.
I hope that's not an insult.
No, it's not.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Just accept it. But do you reckon, are there levels of laid-back people, do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Where are you on the spectrum?
On the laid-backometer?
Yeah.
I would like to say I'm just slightly more to the laid-back side of middle.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Okay, so like from, say, let's say one is like Schwarzenegger, like no chill, not relaxed. I love to pump. And then like number 10 is like Christopher Walken.
Can we just go back to Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
I love to pump.
He does. He loves it.
I'm not denying that, but you're...
So whereabouts on that scale do you fall? I mean, actually, sorry. 5 is probably Christopher Walken. 10 is, what's his name?
Schwarzenegger.
The guy that's in Magic Mike.
Channing Tatum?
No, the other one.
I haven't seen Magic Mike.
The guy
that gets his top off.
Yeah, he's got ripped abs and he's like...
That's all of them in Magic Mike.
He's like, all right. What's his name?
I don't know.
Come on.
I haven't seen the movie.
I'll work on that. But a 10 is...
A 10 is some ripped bloke from Magic Mike. You know what? That's going to be me. Yeah, I'm a 10. I'm ripped and always get my shirt off. I'm not podgy and a little bit fat.
Okay, right.
You're Googling Magic Mike.
I need to get this out of my...
Magic Mike. It's the movie about the male strippers.
This guy,
isn't it?
Matthew McConaughey.
You didn't even Google Magic Mike to get to it. You googled another movie.
So
the Lincoln Lawyer. If it said the Lincoln Lawyer, I would have known who it was.
So he's number 10 on the most relaxed. Christopher Walken probably number 5, and then 1 for not relaxed at all, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You've got both ends of the spectrum of guys that are absolutely ripped. Christopher Walken, no offense to him, but
you're probably not on that scale.
I'm on another scale with like Jack Black.
You're standing on the scales, going, I don't belong here.
I'm literally standing on scales, going, oh Jesus, I need to lay off the donuts.
Okay, so.
Anyway, I'm relaxed. That's the point. Anyway.
The reason I bring it up is because there's no way you're this relaxed. A Tesla owner has been charged with dangerous driving after being pulled over while sleeping at travels over 150 kilometres an hour.
Was it Magic Mike by chance? He wasn't driving. He was taking off his shirt, practicing.
No word on whether he was naked, but the...
It's a weird sentence to say.
The case raises questions about the partially automated driving system. Jeez, you would have... Like I say, you would have to be a very calm individual.
Mm. Well, so let's get this straight. So he was... So obviously the Tesla can do a drive automatically thing.
Yeah.
I guess.
Hmm.
And he decided to have a little bit of a nap on his journey from A to B.
Two people in there were sleeping.
The
Tesla.
A passenger as well.
Yeah.
And was this just driving on just... America, was it? Or?
That's right. Canada. So Canada. It was out on the open road.
It was just out on the highway or something like that with other cars around it?
Police said travelling at over 140 kilometres an hour with both seats completely reclined and both occupants appearing to be asleep.
I didn't even realise that they could do that.
Wow.
Like Teslas could just drive themselves on highways.
Yeah, that and also if it's that smart, it surely knows that it's like, hey guys, stay awake.
Yeah, maybe let's just stick to the traditional we sleep at night method when you're in your bed, not when you're driving along a highway.
So I assume those two guys there, they probably come into a Matthew McConaughey level of chill and relaxed
nature. I think we need, no offence to Matthew McConaughey,
yeah,
who is apparently relaxed and chill, but I'll take your word for it.
I heard him speak, he's like, all right, yes, yeah.
All right, Matthew McConaughey speaks like doing a dodgy Elvis Presley impersonation.
He's just loving it. He's just loving life all the time.
Anyway, I think we need another level of relaxedness.
Mm.
So kind of you've got your Schwarzenegger, you move on to the Matthew McConaughey.
Someone even more chill.
Someone even more relaxed than that.
Someone even more chill. Santa.
Is he chill?
He's from the North Pole.
I mean, admittedly, it doesn't do much for 364 days of the year, so I guess he is kind of chill.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Simo and Jordan with you.
And Simo, not far from here, there is an election happening real soon.
Yeah, in the borough. Canberra.
Yes, in the ACT. There is an ACT election happening real soon. I was watching TV last night and all the election ads popped up.
Oh.
You know, of all the candidates walking through a park casually, meeting someone for a coffee and... We will help jobs and you grow and all of that stuff.
So we can get in, hey, the ACT. We should go for a sausage run. Like
a barbecue sausage.
Yeah,
sizzle.
Rock in there for the democracy sausage and see how many places we can hit.
Yeah, I mean, we could do.
That's prime.
Or we could just buy sausages here and save us off the drive.
Sorry, yeah, you do make a good point.
A lot easier. Anyway, Simo, the reason I bring up the ACT election is, well, actually, do you remember? I think it was about a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, we touched on the fact that a whole lot of signs had been put up, like, on the side of streets.
Yep, there's green ones, red ones, and yellow ones now.
I think blue ones, too. Yep. They're normally advertising the political party.
Mm.
However, these ones were advertising a Simpsons character.
Those were the yellow ones.
They say, They say vote one, the Homer Simpson party, I think they were.
Nice.
As if Homer Simpson was running in the Canberra election.
Yeah.
Well, Simo.
That bloke doesn't run anywhere. Have you seen how many donuts he smashes?
That's a very good point. Well, Simo, they have gone and they have been replaced by a brand new Simpsons character.
Maggie.
Who is running for the show, running for the election.
Yeah.
Simo, any guesses?
I mean, Lisa is who you would want to be putting in charge of stuff.
Lisa would be one of the few residents of Springfield who I would trust in charge of government.
She becomes president, doesn't she?
I think she does.
Yeah.
She could probably do it when she's eight as well.
Bart would be fun for like a week.
Yeah.
But after then...
Bart, what about the economy? I don't know.
Yeah, and after then it would be a bit dire straits. Maggie, there might be a communication. You need a translator.
That's
okay,
yep. It's not a member of the Simpson family, although it's one of the extended characters.
Oh, hell. Okay. It's not Mr. Burns, is it?
No.
Okay.
See, there is one of the candidates. I can't remember which party, but they do look a bit like Mr. Burns.
What are your plans for Canberra? Excellent plans. Many plans.
I'd vote for that, not going to lie.
It worries me, though. There's already plenty of Mr. Burns's around. Mm. Smithers?
No, not Smithers.
Not Flanders. Oh, hell. Sideshow Bob?
Simo, should I just show you the poster?
Not Krusty.
No.
They're not going to put a clown in Parliament.
Simo, you're a long, long way off.
The last thing they should do is put a clown in charge.
Yes. Good joke.
Thank you.
Simo, all right, you're out of guesses. We've been doing this too long.
Yep.
Here, I'll just show you the poster and then you'll be able to see which character it is supposedly running for in the Canberra election. All right, there you go, Simo. I'm handing you the piece of paper now.
Oh, God. Can I throw this? Can I throw it away?
Well, no.
Oh, well, I don't want Cavett back.
Are you not a fan of this character? This character is brilliant. He's like one of the best characters.
He's the worst. That's why I didn't
think of him. Vote one. The Ralph Wiggum party.
That's the worst. Shocking.
My favourite is the little slogan.
Eats crowns.
Can you eat crowns?
No, but he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the more reason he should be elected.
That's the reasoning.
I love this. On the actual posters, there's like a little slogan that says, vote for this person, jobs and growth, or vote for this person, saving the economy. It just says, vote one Ralph Wiggum. When I grow up, I want to be a chief minister or a caterpillar. That is the person who I want in politics. Get rid of ScoMo. I know the election's not for like ScoMo's gig, but get rid of him and throw Ralph Wiggum in there, even though it's basically not real and he's just sort of a computer-generated thing. Still, chuck him in. What's the worst that could happen?
Lots. Plenty.
Actually, very good point. Yes, plenty.
He gets crowns stuck in his nose. He also eats them.
Mm-hmm. And sounds like he doesn't know where his mouth is.
He keeps missing it.
Gets some in his ear.
Oh, man.
Simo and Jordan.
The lead story today. Did you hear about these sarcophaguses over there in Egypt?
No. What happened?
Oh, my friend. Egyptian archaeologists have unearthed more than 24 ancient coffins in a vast necropolis south of Cairo. Yeah. They are, 2,500 years of age?
Right.
The coffins?
So quite old.
Yeah, and necropolis. Do you know what a necropolis is?
I have no idea. It does sound like a fun word to say.
It is quite fun.
Necropolis.
Almost as fun as sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus. Say those two words five times. Sarcophagus, necropolis.
Do you know what the plural of sarcophagus is?
Sarcophagi?
Yeah, it is one of those.
Oh, is it?
It's like octopi.
Okay.
It is. It's sarcophagi, just FYI.
Okay, thank you. That fact will surely come in useful in my life.
So, they have found them in a necropolis. Now, you didn't know what that was.
No.
It's just a cemetery.
Okay.
Like, they found dead people in the cemetery.
Yeah, that's
where you'll find them.
That's less exciting.
Like, I've watched documentaries where they've, like, had to do archaeological digs and, like, ruin entire, you know, towns or, like, dig through roads and stuff. And then someone's gone, you know where we should look?
Yeah.
Where all the dead people are. That's probably where we'll find some sarcophaguses.
Tell you what, crazy Saturday nights at your house, just watching the documentary about archaeological digs.
Isn't it interesting? No.
Not if they're just digging up just a park around the corner or something. Oh, look at this we found. Oh, no, it's just a chip wrapper.
Ever seen the Raiders of Lost Ark?
Yeah, but that's not what's happening on archaeological digs.
So the wooden sarcophagi. Now, wooden is very important, Jordan, because there wasn't actually much wood in Egypt, right? No trees.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that was actually big time.
Like, right, okay.
The fact that these are wooden, oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you've been watching too many documentaries.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm not denying that it's interesting, so but at the same time, a little bit boring.
The wooden sarcophagi are ornately painted and covered in hieroglyphics. Archaeologists say that they're expecting to find more coffins, and there are at least 11 pyramids in that particular, like, plateau area where the discovery was made. So next up, I reckon considering all things there, 11, you've got 11, so you might as well crack one open and have a look.
Oh, so the 11, I mean...
Nothing ever bad has happened from cracking open a coffin as soon as you find it.
Look, I mean...
Especially in Egypt.
I hate to break it to you.
And when there's mummies involved.
Certain movies that would say otherwise.
It's 2020, nothing bad will happen this year.
Yeah, no, what could possibly go wrong?
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I do just want to touch on sport at the moment. I know that's not everyone's cup of tea, but...
What kind of game is it? Team?
Soccer.
Oh, it's a team game.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Unless I guess you can play soccer one-on-one, but no, this was the more traditional 11-a-side.
No fun kicking a ball around by yourself.
Version of soccer. I don't know. Okay, that is kind of boring. Simo, I want to take you to the West Yorkshire League Premier Division in England.
Okay.
It was a big match between Carlton Athletic and Ilkley Town.
Ooh.
When about 35 minutes into the first half, the game was stopped for 15 minutes because an alpaca ran on the field.
Pitch invasion.
Yes. Uh-oh. By an alpaca.
That's an odd pitch invasion.
It's an odd looking animal. No offense to any alpacas.
Lots of things do escape onto the pitches over there. I remember they've had cats as well. Cats, ducks. We had seagulls here. It's a very Australian problem.
I don't think you'd seagulls that counts as pitch invading. I think you just watch the footy, just some seagulls land on the pitch every now and again. That's just not a...
Well,
it's not like, stop the game, there's a seagull on the pitch. It's like, no, we just sort of keep going.
None of them are wearing clothes, Jordan, so they're all streakers in my book.
Very good point.
Thank you.
The alpaca also wasn't wearing clothes, did have a lot of wool on it, but had run away, had escaped from a farm that happened to be next to the pitch.
Yeah.
Through a gap in the fence and decided to, you know what? I'm a fan of soccer, but I want to get in the action.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll go for a run on the pitch and stop the game for 15 minutes because no one could work out how to get the alpaca off the pitch.
Well, they were worried because I assume, like, does it bite or they just spit? Alpacas spit, don't they? Like camels.
I have no idea. I think they were worried in case it kicks.
Oh,
I think that's
right.
What they were worried
about. Lots of options.
Yeah.
Should have gone into MMA fighting rather than soccer.
I think that's animal cruelty, not going to lie.
Not if it beats the crap out of you. If it wins...
So they had to try and work out a way. If you were playing soccer and an alpaca ran on the pitch,
yeah,
what would you do to try and lead it away?
Just wait for it to do it. It'll go back to the farm eventually.
It'll get bored.
Yeah, it'll get bored. It'll eat something and chew on some grass and then go away. You escaped the farm once and...
Did I?
Yeah, you did. And you streaked on a football pitch.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
When have I done this?
Over in England, you said that you did a pitch invasion at the end of a game.
Oh, I did do that once. Yeah, okay.
You didn't have to, like...
I wasn't naked, I want to stress.
But it wasn't like someone led you away. You just got bored, I assume.
Yeah, I got bored at the louds. Okay. So I was back in pre-COVID days.
So
went on a little holiday to the UK.
Yeah.
Went to a soccer game.
Hmm.
And it wasn't like one of the big soccer games. It was like a smaller one. Maybe there was like 2,000 people or something in the crowd.
2,000 people is more than this alpaca was at.
That is a good point.
This alpaca and pitch invaded maybe 20.
there were 22 players, 11 from each side, and some drunk guy over on the corner.
He was reffing. He was umpire.
No, but yeah, so there's like a goal scored at the end of the match for the home team. Everyone went wild. Yeah. Everyone started running on the pitch.
Hmm.
They came over the loudspeaker and said, everyone who runs on the pitch may face a lifetime ban from the stadium. I thought, I live in Australia. It's a lower league English soccer team. I'm not coming back.
Then so you went.
Yeah.
So I
managed to scruffle the hair of the striker that scored and got cleaned up by a security guard.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Wow. That's a living, isn't it?
And I didn't get a lifetime ban, so I can go back to the Barnett Stadium next time I'm in London.
Everyone watching is just like, oh, we had an alpaca last week. Now there's little Jordan over there. Just like, he'll get bored eventually.
It wasn't just me. There was like 2,000 other people running on the pitch. There wasn't 2,000 alpacas at this ground. If there was, what a game of soccer. And maybe as well, can we not play on that pitch next week? Let's pick one away from the 2,000 alpacas.
I think if that was the case, that's a soccer pitch invasion on the alpaca field. The alpaca's like, mate, we're trying to eat some grass here. Can you take your ball?
Just imagine if that like 2,000 alpacas did run onto the soccer pitch, just doing like the report at the end of the match. And the match was between Carlton Athletic and Ickley Town, and the winner was 2,000 alpacas.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.